Even though we had no rain delay tonight, for some reason, night two felt a lot longer than night one. Between the two nights, the crown belongs to night one of WrestleMania. But that's not why you're here. You're here for your night two WrestleMania 37 review. It is April 11, 2021. I am the Solemn Monster. WrestleMania is in the books. The first show outdoors in a stadium in front of fans. It was nice, but now it's over and it's back to the Thunderdome starting tomorrow night. The Thunderdome has a new home in Tampa. They are out of Tropicana Field, but it is back to the virtual fans going forward. And it was a good night. If you were a heel on the WWE roster, this was a very heel-heavy show, and that includes the main event, Roman Reigns, your tribal chief, still your Universal Champion, beating Daniel Bryan and Edge in the main event. As I predicted, Roman Reigns remains the champion. I thought that was an excellent main event to cap off what was not as good of a show as what we got last night. I was a bigger fan of night one than I was of night two. But to keep it positive here for a second, the main events on both nights kicked ass. I thought the main event tonight delivered. I thought the main event last night with Sasha and Bianca delivered. So my expectations for the main events were met. I have no real bad things to say about the main events at all. Tonight, people were on their feet. The people in the building were as into that match as they were any other match on the card, which is what you would hope to see in your main event. I thought Bryan looked good, Edge looked good, and shockingly, you know, to my surprise, Edge seemed to be the one who was the most heavily the fan favorite in this match. It wasn't even Daniel Bryan. There were points where Bryan actually got boos. So Edge was actually more popular than I thought he would be. And Roman was booed like you would hope and expect your top heel to be booed. You know, there was a little bit of a question there. Roman Reigns in front of a crowd for the first time. People were clamoring for years to see him as a heel. Are they going to cheer him now that he's a heel? Well, if this crowd in Tampa is any example, the answer is no. And they treated him like the top heel that he is on that SmackDown brand. They were booing him. They were saying Roman sucks. Of course, Roman does not suck. Roman stacked them up like cardwood, or cardboard. What is it, cardwood? I think I just merged cardboard and wood. Whatever the case may be, he stacked them up, and he got the win to end what was a very mixed bag of a show. There was some good stuff on this show. As great as the main event was, I thought Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn had a very good match. I actually thought Asuka and Rhea Ripley had a good match, but you would never know it because the crowd was completely dead for it. And that could be because of a number of different issues. It could be because of its positioning on the show. Or it could be that Rhea Ripley only debuted on television a few weeks ago. And the build to their match has largely been non-existent. So whatever the case was, that crowd was ice cold for the majority of the Raw Women's title match. Even though Rhea got the big win in the end, they seemed to really be into that. Big E and Apollo Crews, I thought they had a good match for what it was up until the finish. We're going to run down the entire card here. We're going to go match by match, and I'm going to bring you up to speed on everything that happened tonight. I do appreciate you choosing me for your WrestleMania coverage, and I want to thank everybody who joined me last night, because we had close to 3,000 people watching live last night. We'll see if we come close to that again or even top that tonight. But last I checked, we had over 65,000 views on that night one review. So anybody who took some time to check out the night one review, or if you super chatted, if you supported in any way, I want to say thank you. The response last night was huge. Let's see if we can top that tonight here for night two. We had Titus O'Neil and Hulk Hogan. They were our co-hosts this year for WrestleMania. Quite the odd couple. They were back out again tonight to open the show. This time they were dressed up as pirates. Now, last night when they came out, they were dressed normally. Hogan was out there as the Orange Goblin. Titus O'Neil was out there doing his thing. Tonight, they came out as pirates. Hogan just looked completely ridiculous. I guess he always looks completely ridiculous with some of the stuff he wears, but the boos for Hogan, though, every time they showed him, every time he came out, the boos for Hulk Hogan were way more noticeable than they were last night. I got reports from the building last night that he was heavily booed. It didn't really come across on TV, but tonight, it very much did. People were fine with Titus. They seemed to like Titus. But whenever Hogan would go to speak, they booed. They opened the show with Randy Orton one-on-one against The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. This was The Fiend's WrestleMania debut. Now, we've seen Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania before, but never The Fiend. So I was actually kind of looking forward to his big entrance, right? They could have really done it up nice. Maybe they had something special planned. We had no superimposed giant sperm on the ramp this year for Randy Orton's entrance like he had for his last WrestleMania match with Bray Wyatt. Orton was wearing white for the first time that I can remember in his career. This was, as I said, the first WrestleMania entrance for The Fiend. Alexa Bliss was out first to the Funhouse Bray music. She comes out, and at ringside, they have wheeled a giant jack-in-the-box. And Alexa goes over to the jack-in-the-box, and she's, you know, winding the handle as the jingle plays in the background. Pop goes the weasel. And The Fiend pops out of the top of the jack-in-the-box. He's wearing his original gear, his original Fiend gear. He is no longer burnt. His burns have healed very quickly. He got a fresh, clean mask. He was looking good. The Fiend looked like he was ready to go out to the club. He got a shave. He was clean. His hair was all slicked back. He's ready to just do some pre-gaming here and go out and hit the clubs down there in Tampa. The Fiend was looking good. And he jumps off the top of the jack-in-the-box into the ring onto Orton. Wasn't quite Austin jumping off the Zamboni and taking McMahon down to the ring, but that was kind of the idea here. Now, unfortunately, they brought back the red light. I fucking hate the red light, but they brought back the red light for the match here tonight. So we have the red lighting for this match, which was just, you knew that you were in for just a shit show anyway with the red lighting. Michael Cole. Can we talk about Michael Cole for a second? What the fuck is wrong with Michael Cole? Is it just me or did he have a fucking horrendous weekend? Botching calls left and right, saying that just the dumbest shit. There were at least three or four different botches on this show that I'm going to get into here. He already botched the call for the main event last night during the women's title match. So here, right, we have this giant box. Jack in the box, sitting at ringside. Michael Cole refers to the giant box at ringside as a box-like structure. Now, it is possible that he was told to say that, you know, verbiage. This, of course, doesn't take into account all the other botches on the show. But let's even assume that he was told to say that. Why would you call it a box-like structure? You know, there's another word for it. It's called a fucking box. That's what it is. It's a giant box sitting at ringside. It's a box-like structure. Ugh. So Orton dropped The Fiend on top of the announce desk, and The Fiend popped right back up. He applied the mandible claw. Orton got back in the ring, hit the draping DDT. And again, The Fiend popped right back up. So Orton hit another draping DDT. Finally, he hit another one. And he was able to keep The Fiend down. RKO attempt is countered into a mandible claw. Sister Abigail. The Fiend is going for Sister Abigail here. He's got Randy Orton all set up for the maneuver. All of a sudden, Pyro shoots out of the ring post like Kane is about to come out. And Kane was there tonight. Kane was honored as part of the Hall of Fame ceremony. Flames shoot out from the ring post like Kane is coming out. This distracts The Fiend. Okay, so he doesn't hit Sister Abigail. The flames shoot out. And all of a sudden, we see Alexa Bliss is sitting on top of the box-like structure. She's sitting on top of the box, and she's got black ooze leaking down her head. Again, very Papa Shango-esque. Papa Shango did this to the Ultimate Warrior many years ago. Ultimate Warrior had black slime running down his face. She had black shit running all down her face. And The Fiend is completely distracted by all of this. He's looking up at her, and he's distracted long enough for Randy Orton to hit the RKO and get the pin. So Randy Orton pins the Fiend in the middle of the ring. This was the Fiend's big return after being burned right down to his epidermis. All of his layers of skin were just singed and burned from his body. He was left in a burnt heap. This was his big return, his big shot at revenge. Randy Orton was booked to be the heel. Believe it or not, Randy Orton, based on how the company viewed him, was to be the heel. So this was the Fiend's big return, and he gets pinned by Randy Orton. And why does the Fiend get pinned? The Fiend gets pinned because Flame shot out of the ring posts, and Alexa Bliss had black shit running down her face. You know, I said coming into this show that the Fiend really needed to win this match. So the Eater of Pins is back, everybody. This went about as well as their last match did at WrestleMania. Let's talk about the match itself. It wasn't much of one. I still think that WrestleMania 33 match was worse, but this was close behind. This match was bringing right up the rear. This wasn't much better than what we got in Orlando 4 years ago. The Fiend gets pinned with one RKO after being distracted by Alexa Bliss. What more can be said? The only thing missing here were the maggots. Remember the maggots from their match at WrestleMania 33? All the superimposed shit on the mat in the ring. That's all this was missing, was the maggots. That's where this belongs. 6 feet under with the maggots. Coolest thing about this was the little Brody Lee tribute. I did pick up on that in the middle of the match. Camera zoomed in on the Fiend, and he did the yeah, yeah, yeah that Brody Lee used to do. I thought that was very cool. That was a cool moment. That's about the only nice thing I can say about this. Otherwise, this sucked. This sucked. And as far as opening the show with this was not the way you open the show. This was not an opening match that was going to get this show off to a rip-roaring start. As we could see later on, when they replayed this, inexplicably of all the things to replay from this show, later on in the night they replay this and you can hear the boos from the people in the stadium. It's like they're trolling us at this point. This sucked, and the Fiend, what more can be said? The Fiend is done. Whatever little bit of interest was left in this character, I mean, it was pretty much mostly gone anyway at this point. There really isn't anything left to say about the Fiend. We can talk about how, let's see where the storyline goes with, Alexa, and if they're gonna split them up, or I don't care. Who cares? At this point, who gives a shit? Who cares? The Fiend is done. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler against Natty and Tamina for the women's tag team titles. Nia wanted Tamina very early on. She pointed at her and said, "I want you." So in came Tamina. We had the battle of the two Samoans. And they actually got her some Tamina chance. Tamina had fans in the crowd tonight. There were people chanting Tamina. I don't think that's ever happened in her entire career. She had more fans in the building tonight than she has probably in 15 years. If there were Tamina chants before, I certainly never heard them. So good for her. Maybe it was her family. She had family members in the crowd, chanting her name. Tamina and Natty gave Nia a double back body drop. Nia body slammed Tamina out on the floor at one point. That left Natty all alone for a while, 2-on-1. She was being tortured by Shayna Baszler. Nia powerbombed Natty, but Tamina dove in to make the save. There was a terrible spot. This was the one part of this match that I absolutely hated. It made me cringe. I hate this. I hate seeing stuff like this. Tamina and Natty are in the ring. Nia's on the ropes. And the baby faces are telegraphing the fact that Nia is preparing to come off the ropes, probably for a dive or a crossbody. I don't know what was going on. I don't know if Nia was winded or if she was trying to get her footing or what was going on, because the camera wasn't on her. The camera was squarely on Natty and Tamina. And they're standing there and they're watching this and they're bracing themselves. They're not trying to get out of the way. They're not trying to stop Nia. They're just standing there embracing for impact. Oh, let's get in position for the big move that's coming up. Now, they probably didn't know the camera was directly on them. As if we don't have enough shitty camera work on this show with all the camera cuts and stuff. Were you nauseated by that? I saw a lot of complaints about that too. I don't even complain about it anymore because it's just, it's the way it is. If we didn't have a gazillion camera cuts on these shows, I would mention it because it would actually be news. So the camera's on them. They're bracing. They're bracing to catch her. All right, we're in position. We're waiting. Ugh. Awful. Absolutely awful. They just stood there like idiots. Of course, Nia did eventually jump on them. So then Nia gets up and she tells Tamina, "You ain't shit." This is Nia Jax now trash talking. She says, "You ain't shit. I'm King Kong, bitch. I run this." And Tamina gives Nia a slam. Now, this was more of a Lex Luger body slam to Yokozuna, more of a hip toss. Couldn't quite get her up for the body slam, but she tried her best. She kind of gave her a half slam. Not exactly Hogan Andre, but this was her big moment. It looked like she got a three count, but the referee said it was only two. Tamina heads up top for the Superfly Splash to kill Nia, but Jax moves out of the way. Natty gets a sharpshooter on Nia, but Shayna Baszler, who was the legal person at the time, I guess Natty was not aware of this, sneaks up behind Natty, locks her in the Kirifuda clutch. Natty goes out, and still, your women's tag team champions, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. They retain the women's tag titles. Outside of that one embarrassing spot, I thought the match was fine. You know, nothing special, but it was better than that tag team turmoil match we got last night. That was just a complete disaster. That was the worst thing I saw all weekend. So this at least was an upgrade from that. But there was no reason to change the titles. I mean, unless you have a team that, you know, you're really going to get behind. You know, if they would have put the belts on Natty and Tamina, it would have been a token thing just to kind of give Tamina. You know, Tamina's never won a championship, I don't think, in all her years in the company. I don't think she's ever held any kind of title. I mean, she must not have because the women's tag belts are still fairly new. She hasn't had that. And I know that she's never been a Raw or SmackDown Women's Champion before or a Divas Champion. So it is kind of strange, you know, in today's day and age. It's like everybody gets a belt at one point or another, and Tamina never did. So yeah, they could have given her a nice moment at WrestleMania. But you know what? WrestleMania is not about nice moments. For the sake of just doing nice moments, there should be some reason for it. And if they're not going to push Tamina and Natty as a team, then you don't put the belts on them. Keep the belts on Nia, keep the belts on Shayna, and wait until you have an actual team that comes along that you want to push and get behind. That's why I said it would have been a great spot for the Riot Squad last night. Ruby and Liv Morgan were the best thing about that tag team turmoil match. They're an actual team. They're the closest thing to an actual team. Let them win. Let them go to WrestleMania tonight and maybe give them the win. So if not, there was no point in doing a title change here. So I thought it was the right move. We move on to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. This is where the show finally began to pick up. You can almost just ignore everything up to this point and start WrestleMania from here. This should have been the opening match. But I guess they didn't want Logan Paul to curtain jerk. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have a history together going all the way back to the early 2000s. This was their first singles match against each other at WrestleMania. And you know, this has got to be a match that they've probably dreamt of before. Like, they probably dreamed of wrestling each other one-on-one. I'm not talking Money in the Bank or anything like that, or a ladder match with eight guys in it. I'm talking one-on-one combat. And you know that they were ready to go out there and try to steal the show. They didn't steal the show, but I thought they had a very good match. Sammy was out first. He introduced Logan Paul. This was funny. So he introduces Logan Paul, who is his guest of honor, as he was on SmackDown a week ago. And Logan Paul comes out, and it's obvious the crowd is booing him and doesn't like him very much. But they could not help themselves. They piped in fake crowd cheers. If you go back and notice during his entrance, it was pretty obvious they were piping in cheers during Logan Paul's entrance. Maybe they were doing it to try to drown out some of the boos. But once he got to the ring and the music stopped, you weren't hiding those boos. So the people did not like Logan Paul. They did not care for Logan Paul. But they tried their best. They wanted to try to manipulate the crowd audio. They tried as best they could, but they couldn't do it. And I guess my question would be, how stupid do you have to be? If they didn't think that he was going to get booed, how fucking dumb does that make them? How do you not go into WrestleMania knowing that Logan Paul isn't going to be booed? Of course he's going to be booed. At least people like Bad Bunny. I don't think anybody expected the wrestling audience to be cheering for Logan Paul. He sat ringside next to the announcers. This was almost less of a Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn match and more of a let's watch Logan Paul watching Kevin Owens against Sami Zayn, because I'm trying to watch this match and constantly they're cutting back to Logan Paul. And all Logan Paul is doing is just sitting there watching. He'll look out into the crowd. The constant cuts back and forth to Logan Paul. He's not doing anything. It's not like he's the ringside enforcer. Why must you continuously cut back and forth to this guy? I thought that was annoying. Keep the attention where it belongs. These two guys have worked their asses off to get to this point. Keep the camera and keep the focus on them. Yes, we know Logan Paul is out there. We saw him come out. You've made it very clear that he's out there. Now keep the focus on these two guys. They went out there. I thought they had a very good match. Owens hit an immediate pop-up powerbomb. Sammy came back with a brainbuster to Owens on the apron. We got chance of Logan sucks. Surprised they didn't try to dub those out. If they could, I'm sure they would. Maybe on the Peacock replay they will. Sami Zayn hit a Michinoku driver to Kevin Owens that Michael Cole called a blue thunder bomb. It was not a blue thunder bomb. It was a Michinoku driver. Owens hit a frog splash for a two count. Sammy finally did hit the blue thunder bomb. I thought Michael Cole was going to explode. I thought he was going to spontaneously combust. He finally got one right. You know, if you call everything a blue thunder bomb, eventually he'll actually do one and you'll be right. Owens hit a fisherman buster from the top rope. A few moments later, Zayn hit a haluva kick. He went for another one, but Owens caught him with two super kicks in a row and then hit the stunner for the win. Steve Austin smiled somewhere. The fact that the stunner was actually used as a finish. As it should be. As it should be. Not a setup move. As a fucking finish. And he pinned Sami Zayn and got the win. Very good match. And hopefully it was the match that they always were hoping for. Here at WrestleMania, they got to have their moment. Right on the grand stage. Now, Owens did not get the dive off the pirate ship that he was hoping to have. He so badly wanted to jump off that pirate ship. But he got the win. Now, after the match, Logan Paul jumped in the ring to check on Sammy. And he turned and decided to congratulate Kevin Owens. And this bothered Sami Zayn. He goes, "What are you doing? You're my guest. Why are you congratulating him?" He was getting up in Logan Paul's face, and so Logan Paul goes ahead and he shoves Sami Zayn down. Now, Sami Zayn is the heel. Logan Paul shoves him down, and he gets booed. The people did not like the fact that Logan Paul... I thought Logan Paul was going to turn Sami Zayn babyface. For a second there, I thought, you know, Kevin Owens was going to come to his defense. Sami was going to see Owens in a different light. And have a change of heart and show respect, and they were going to embrace. I mean, I'm kind of happy it didn't happen. I like Sammy as a heel right now. But yeah, the fans booed when Logan Paul shoved Sami Zayn down. So Sammy went and he left, and Logan Paul grabbed Kevin Owens by the arm, and he raised his arm in celebration. You know, he was trying to really butter up to Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens didn't seem very amused by this, and he did exactly what I was hoping he would do. He dropped Logan Paul with a stunner. To a nice pop from the crowd. And to his credit, Logan Paul sold it very well. You know, he didn't have the over-exaggerated sell like The Rock or Shane McMahon or somebody like that. He took the stunner like probably somebody would take the stunner if they had never taken a stunner before. And he laid down and he sold the move. So I thought for his part, for the one bump that he took, I thought he did well. He's no bad bunny, but I thought Logan Paul did fine. Matt Riddle was in the back. when he found the Great Khali. They flew the Great Khali in for an appearance here at WrestleMania. He was standing in the back talking to Ranjan Singh. And Riddle congratulated Khali on his Hall of Fame induction, and he marveled. He marveled at how big his hands were. He couldn't believe it. You know, when Khali showed the ring, the Hall of Fame ring on his hand, he was like, oh my God, I can't believe how big your hands are, bro. Who should show up? But Rob Van Dam, RVD, shows up here in this Matt Riddle segment. So we did, in fact, get the RVD Riddle segment I was hoping that we would get, right? I was talking about this the other day. I said, you're going to have Rob Van Dam and Matt Riddle in the same building at the same time. How, if you don't have them together in a segment, then I just don't know what we're doing here. So I had a big smile on my face when I saw RVD pop up. And then RVD is handing out his own line of RVD rolling papers. He's handing out the RVD rolling papers, which all I could think is that Peacock is going to have this segment edited out of the feed before the stream is over. We move on now, speaking of Matt Riddle, to the United States Championship on the line. It was Riddle defending the title one-on-one against Sheamus. Sheamus, who was wrestling Drew McIntyre and seemed to be in contention for the WWE Championship and ended up really not having any direction at all for this show. So they decided to program him with Riddle, and the two of them have had a lot of really good matches on TV. So the one thing you could bet on coming into this show tonight is that these two could at least, they're going to go out there and they're going to have a very good match. And that is exactly what they did. Riddle and Sheamus went out there and they had a very good match together, very stiff match. Not perfect. There was actually one botch, and I'm sure Sheamus is going to be kicking himself for it. Sheamus hits the Irish Curse backbreaker for a near fall, and he climbs up to the top rope. Riddle runs the ropes, hits a giant belly-to-belly overhead suplex. Both men just fly through the air, land on the mat. Riddle hits a Broton, follows that up with a jackhammer, or I guess a brohammer. Is that what he calls it, or did I just make that up? He hit the brohammer for a near fall. Goldberg is not amused. I love that he's still using Goldberg shit, probably just to piss him off. Riddle springboards into the ring like Hangman Page does, going for the buckshot lariat, but instead he eats a knee from Sheamus for a close near fall. Michael Cole called it a brogue. Are you keeping track of these? Are you keeping score? I've lost count already. It was a knee. They even showed two replays of it. It was not, unless he's calling it the brogue knee. He has a brogue punch and a brogue kick and a brogue knee. It was not a brogue. Again, I asked the question, what the hell is going on with Michael Cole? Last night, tonight, the guy is just completely off his game. I don't know what's going on. Maybe he was hanging out with RVD. Maybe he had one, two, he was hanging with RVD all night long and yeah, they got the rolling papers going on. I don't know. How can one person be this bad at their job? How? How is that possible? We're talking about announcers being booted, the Raw announce team being reshuffled. Tom Phillips is probably out of a job. And yet Michael Cole is still here. Sheamus followed that up with an Alabama slam. So they fought out onto the apron. Riddle shoved Sheamus into the ring post, and then as he came backwards, Riddle grabbed him, hit a German suplex on the apron. He followed up with a moonsault onto Sheamus on the floor. Riddle hit the floating bro on the inside for a near fall. Sheamus countered an armbar attempt into a powerbomb. And then came the unfortunate botch. The unfortunate botch that I'm sure Sheamus is going to be beating himself up over, but what the hell are you going to do? He was attempting to give Matt Riddle white noise from the top rope. Air raid crash. That's what he was going for. He couldn't keep his balance. Now, it could have been worse. He could have literally fallen off the ropes, could have hurt himself, could have hurt Matt Riddle. He slipped. He fell off the ropes. He landed on his feet. But it was obvious that that's not what he was trying to do. And for a brief moment there, it looked like he was considering just trying, because he has Riddle, right? And he's considering trying to climb back up, but he probably realizes, I got this guy. I can't, he's like, fuck this. Just forget it. And he just gives it, he just gives him a standing one right there in the ring. Just dropped him. Went up top, hit a diving knee drop, ravishing Rick Rude style, diving knee drop off the top rope. A few minutes later, for the finish, this was the big finale. Riddle goes for a lion salt. Goes for a springboard moonsault off the middle rope. And Sheamus catches him with a brogue. This time it was a brogue. Cole hits a brogue that looks like it probably connected a little too much. Because Riddle came up all bloody from the mouth. It looked great, though. I mean, as a spot, as a finish, I thought it looked great. Probably didn't feel too great for Matt Riddle. But he catches him with the brogue on the way down, gets the pin, and Sheamus, for the third time, is the United States champion. They have gifted the title to Sheamus. I said coming into the show, I think Sheamus was my pick to win. And he was my pick to win because I almost looked at this as their consolation prize to him for not having anything better for him to do. And Sheamus has been, you know, an MVP in a lot of ways, I think, of these pandemic shows. So has Bayley. And if you really think about it, the fact that this is the best they could come up with for Sheamus and that Bayley didn't even have a match on the show, it really is a slap in the face, especially on the Bayley thing. I'm going to talk about Bayley here in a second, being beaten around by the Bella Twins. I mean, but he's got gold. He's got a title. At least he got a win. Another, I think, in a long line of good matches between these two. They just work well together. I think their styles just complement each other very well. So I enjoyed that. I thought that was good. That brings us to another championship. It brings us to the Intercontinental Championship. Big E defending here in his hometown of Tampa. That should have been the first sign of trouble for Big E. They're in his hometown. The next sign of trouble is the fact that Wale was there to sing him to the ring. Big E got the live music treatment. He got the live music entrance. All the signs were there of a bad night for Big E. If you really paid attention, this should have been pretty obvious how this was going to go for him. But this was a Nigerian drum fight for the Intercontinental title. No countouts, no disqualifications. The only way to win is by pinfall or submission. They had drums all around ringside. Thankfully, nobody was banging them. That would have been annoying. They had tables around the ring. They had kendo sticks around the ring. They had a gong for some reason, which I don't quite know what the purpose of that was. It wasn't even really used. I mean, it got knocked over at one point, but I mean, unless you're going to take the gong and really whack somebody in the head with it a few times, then what's the point of even having one out there? So they opened the match hitting each other with kendo sticks. Big E did his dive through the ropes out to the floor. He landed right on his shoulder, as he always does. You know, one of the great mysteries to me, whenever I watch Big E in a match, he's been doing that move for years. One of the great mysteries to me is just how he does not separate his shoulder, break his shoulder. I'm sure there's a lot of wear and tear. It's going to catch up to him at some point. It always scares me when I see him do that. But Apollo came back with a Death Valley driver on the apron. There was a sickening bump where Big E gave Apollo a Uranage off the apron onto the flat part of the ring steps that had been moved over by the apron, and he landed pretty hard. Apollo bounced off his shoulder on the steps. That looks like it sucked. Big E set up a table in the ring, but Apollo fought back. He absolutely shredded Big E with a kendo stick. I mean, pieces of this thing were just flying off in the air. He placed Big E on the table, and he headed up top for the frog splash, but he crashed and burned. Big E rolled off, and Apollo crashed through the table. Big E immediately picked him up, hit the big ending, when all of a sudden, who should show up but Dabba Kato from Raw Underground. That's right, Yabba Dabba Doo Guy was back. We haven't seen him in a few months. Yabba Dabba Doo Guy showed up here. He got in the ring, although he was never acknowledged by the name Dabba Kato. In fact, not only was he not acknowledged by the name Dabba Kato, Michael Cole and I think it was a Corey Graves, I think, they acted like they didn't even know who this guy was. Now, I understand they're the SmackDown announcers, but he was all over television for a period of time there for a while with Shane McMahon, and he was included in the draft, I believe. So it was no secret who this guy was. And they do this sometimes when they reboot or they repackage someone, but it just makes the announcers, and this is not Cole's fault. This is actually not Michael Cole's fault. This is the company's fault for making their announcers look like a couple of dunces. Because they act as if they've never even heard of this guy or seen him ever before in their lives. Who is this? Who is this giant? They couldn't believe, they didn't know who it was. That's why these announcers have no credibility. They have no credibility. It doesn't matter. They can bring in any announcer you want. They just hired this new guy who's going to probably be starting on Raw tomorrow night. This guy, Adnan Virk. He used to be on ESPN. I talked about this on the podcast earlier today. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. He could have this great look, or he could have great personality. He could have a great voice. He could come from ESPN or some other major news outlet. It doesn't matter. If they don't book their announcers to have credibility, then you could put a fucking potato in that chair. I think if they would have put a potato in that chair tonight instead of Michael Cole, it would have done a better job. But it doesn't matter because they make their announcers look and sound like fools. So they didn't know who Dabo Kato was. They never saw him before in their lives. According to PW Insider, his new name, he's not going to be Dabo Kato anymore. That's in the past. He's got a new name. Actually, it's one of two names. It's either going to be Commodore Aziz, or possibly just Aziz, but without the extra E. So I guess that would be Azez. So we'll find out tomorrow. Well, I guess it would be Friday. We'll find out on SmackDown this week what name he's going to be going by. It's either going to be Azez or Aziz. It's going to be one of those two. So they're giving him a total makeover. He was wearing what I guess was supposed to be like a Nigerian military uniform. It looked like it was some kind of military type of uniform. He chokeslammed Big E. He had Big E down and had Apollo cover him to win the championship. So with the assist from Yabba Dabba Doo guy, Apollo Crews is the new Intercontinental Champion. Finally. I thought this match was fine up until the run-in. You know, I'm so tired of the kendo stick gimmick. Enough with the kendo sticks in wrestling. Can we please stop? It's such a tired gimmick. They do this in both companies. They do this across all the brands. They do this in WWE main roster. They do it in NXT. They do it in AEW. Yeah, you have Hikaru Shida. It's her whole gimmick. She brings a kendo stick to the ring with her. Fine. Everybody else, can we please give the kendo sticks a rest for a little? I know they make a really loud noise, but enough already with the kendo sticks. I don't know why I didn't think of that. I was thinking, what is a Nigerian drum fight? I should have figured. It involves kendo sticks. Every stipulation match in some way involves kendo sticks. Silly as it was, though, for the announcers to act like they don't watch Raw or know who this guy was, they did the right thing. I will applaud them for that. It was the right outcome. Apollo needed this win a lot more than Big E did. Big E's going to be fine. Big E's going to move on to bigger things. I said earlier, Big E is going to be challenging for the Universal title before this year is out. In fact, I think by the end of the summer. Maybe even by SummerSlam. I could see him challenging Roman Reigns for the Universal title. So Big E is going to be, he'll be just fine. But Apollo Crews, you know, he had this whole character transformation and they turned him heel. This was his match. It was a Nigerian drum fight. He came up with the stipulation for him to come into WrestleMania. He's had four other opportunities before this, maybe five, for the Intercontinental title. He's been unsuccessful all four times. So if he would have come into WrestleMania tonight and lost again, that would have been it. That would have been it. That would have been it as far as taking him seriously above a certain level. He had to win this match. Even if it took someone helping him to do it, he had to win this match. So he won, he's got the title, and now he's got, I guess, a bodyguard. They're actually taking someone and putting them with him. So that's good. It means they're going all in on the character. They're going all in on the gimmick. And that's a good thing. Now, how long before they give us Apollo and Dabo Kato? Maybe if we have like a roster shakeup, how long before we get Apollo and Dabba Kato against AJ Styles and Omos? Because I just see that at some point being a feud or a match that they're going to want, they're really going to want to do that. It kind of makes sense, really. It's just, you know, they're on separate brands, so they can't do it right now, but I guess they can invoke the wild card rule. Does that thing still exist? Right? You just say wild card and anybody can appear on whatever show they want to appear on. What's the rule? You have up to 4 times a year you can appear on the other show. So we can get the match. It's still possible. They trotted out the Hall of Famers. Last night it was the class of 2020. Tonight it was the class of 2021. We had Kane, Rob Van Dam, Eric Bischoff, Great Khali, Molly Holly, and Ozzy Osbourne, who was not there. Just like last night, William Shatner was not there, but we had a graphic for Ozzy. So then it was time for the Raw Women's Championship. Asuka, one-on-one with Rhea Ripley. This is one of the matches that I was looking forward to on this show. We had Ash Costello of New Year's Day. The band New Year's Day sang Rhea to the ring to her song. I wish they would have just played the song over the PA system instead of having the live performance. I don't know what happened. This did not sound good at all. I'm not familiar with this person. I'm not familiar with the band New Year's Day. I've never seen one of their concerts before. Maybe they're usually much better than this. I didn't think this was very good at all. Maybe they weren't mic'd up the right way. I don't know. But this, I would have much rather they just played the music over the PA system. The crowd was, unfortunately, completely dead for this match. They would kind of have signs of life here and there for certain moves. This crowd was ice cold for this match. Now, they cheered at the end for the finish, but it was unfortunate to see them dead. And if you think about it, this was the obligatory women's match before the main event. I mean, they had the... Yeah, the position that they were in on this show is really not the best position to be in. I don't want to make excuses. I mean, there was a reason why the people weren't into this match as much as they were some of the other matches. And I don't know exactly what the reason is. I think it might be a combination of different things. It could have been the positioning on the show. Coming later in the show, not the main event, but just before the main event. It could have been the fact, and I think this is probably the reason more than anything else, Rhea Ripley has been on television for, what, 3 weeks? They waited until a few weeks before WrestleMania to have her make her big debut. She came in second as a runner-up in the Women's Royal Rumble match in January. So if you were going to call her up before WrestleMania, you had all of February, you had all of March. And it wasn't until the third week of March, somewhere around there, right? It was right after Fastlane, I believe, that she debuted on TV. So they didn't have a whole lot of time to build her up for this match. And on top of that, what did they do to really build the match up? They did the tired, although we'll put them together as tag team partners. Oh, well, there's something we've never seen before. So the buildup was lacking, just like it was for Sasha and Bianca. I mean, Sasha and Bianca, despite the build, went out there last night and had a fantastic match. Even for the SmackDown Women's Championship, the build really left a lot to be desired. But I thought they went out there and they had a very good match. If you just look at it from what they did, they worked hard. I thought the match was good. The crowd obviously disagreed in the building. And it just kind of made for a dead match because they were doing stuff and the people were just sitting on their hands. Asuka locked on a knee bar, but Rhea powered out of it and took her over with a German suplex. Rhea put Asuka on the top rope. Asuka knocked her off. And followed up with a missile drop kick. Asuka hit a German suplex and a hip attack for a near fall. She goes up top. And Rhea cuts her off with a drop kick. And drops Asuka face first down on the apron. Asuka hit a DDT. This is one of the big spots of the match. Asuka hit a DDT off the apron. And planted Rhea down head first on the floor. Asuka a little bit later on gets an armbar. Transitions into the Asuka lock. Ripley reverses into a near fall. So Asuka catches her with a series of kicks, right? She's throwing kick after kick after kick. And finally, Rhea basically dares her to do it again. She dares her to go ahead and kick her again. And so Asuka goes for another one, but Ripley ducks, and she hits her finish. She hits Riptide for the win. I like that. I like the fact that Asuka did not kick out, because here you have a woman who is still new to the roster. You want to establish her finish. You don't want to bury her finish. She just debuted on TV. If the Riptide is her big move, then she should win with it. So I like the fact that we didn't get that false finish there where Asuka kicked out at 2.5 and then they went to the finish. She hit her move and she pinned Asuka. That's a huge win for Rhea Ripley. Asuka has been the gatekeeper of that women's division now since really Becky Lynch handed her the championship after Asuka won Money in the Bank. And Becky had to relinquish the title. Remember, she opened the briefcase. This is yours. That was her basically handing the division over to Asuka. And Asuka was all over the shows during those Performance Center shows all summer long, wrestling Bayley and Sasha. They had so many different permutations of those matches. But Asuka was really carrying the show. She was carrying that women's division for a long time until they just ran out of people for her to work with. They didn't have anything for her to do. She was teaming with Lana. When you're reduced to teaming with Lana, you're the women's champion, and the best thing they could come up with is, hey, we're going to make you tag team partners with Lana, then you are completely bankrupt of any and all ideas on what to do with this woman. So when Rhea came along, it was long overdue. Rhea Ripley was needed way more on the Raw brand than she was on the SmackDown brand. I think she'll help a lot. It's her division now. That's why I said I wanted to see her win the championship. And now that WrestleMania is in the books, right? We have both nights of WrestleMania in the books. You look at the lay of the land here. You've got Rhea on top of the Raw women's division. You've got Bianca Belair on top of the SmackDown women's division. As it should be. These are the women that are going to carry these divisions. And now you can still do Bianca and Sasha. You can do Rhea and Charlotte. There is a history there with Rhea and Charlotte. Of course, do I have faith that Charlotte is going to do the honors for Rhea? I sure hope she does. Just like Rhea did for her at WrestleMania last year. And Rhea was never the same after that. Rhea really didn't recover for the rest of 2020. After that loss to Charlotte. Hopefully when they match them up, and they will, Charlotte will do the honors this time, as she should. Rhea Ripley needs to be built up. She needs to be protected. She is now the star of the Raw women's division. The people did pop for the finish. They seemed, you know, even though Rhea was, I think, positioned as the heel, really, coming into this show, they popped for the finish. They seemed to like the fact that, you know, they got a title change. Nothing wrong with the match except for the fact that the crowd just had no life for it. And again, you can come up with your own reasons as far as why that was. They actually showed a replay at this point of the Orton Fiend match. I had mentioned that earlier, that was what they had done. The worst thing on the entire show, hey, let's show a replay in case you missed it. Like they're actually proud of it. Let's go back and show you what happened here. Unbelievable. And by the way, the live crowd booed. They booed the shit out of this. As they should have. It sucked the first time. Why would you show it again? Hulk Hogan and Titus came back out to thank the fans. They weren't in their pirate costumes. Came back out to thank the fans for being there when they were interrupted by Bayley, the longest reigning SmackDown Women's Champion of all time, with nothing to do on this show but come out and interrupt Titus O'Neil and Hulk Hogan. She said, "Where's my pyro?" And they gave her a big pyro celebration, so at least she got pyro. I guess there's always that. But then she was interrupted, not by Becky Lynch. There were a lot of rumors about Becky Lynch possibly being on the show. That was the idea that I had floated, that she does a ding-dong hello segment. I said this last Tuesday. Bayley has no match. Give her a talk show segment, and if Becky Lynch is ready to come back, which according to Nick Khan, who is the president of WWE, she is going to be back imminently, if you want her to at least make her return in front of a live audience, then WrestleMania was your only shot to do it. And you could have had her come out as a surprise, interrupt Bayley. At least then Bayley is part of a, you know, a memorable, meaningful segment on the show. No Becky Lynch. Nowhere to be seen. But we got the Bella Twins. So we didn't get Becky. We got Nikki and Brie Bella, the new Hall of Famers who are talking openly about wanting to come back and wanting to challenge for the women's tag team titles. Maybe that's why Nia and Shayna are being kept so strong. And they're holding on to the titles because they're waiting for the Bella Twins to come back. Maybe the Bellas are coming back. And they're going to challenge for the tag team titles. Oh, joy. I can't wait. Can't you tell? Can you tell how excited I am? The Bellas come out. And Bayley is not happy about this. She makes a crack about, hey, John Cena is not here tonight. And Nikki Bella smacks the microphone out of her hand. Bayley took a shot at them. They knocked her down. Titus and Hogan then raised the Bella's hands to end the segment. That is not at all what this crowd was hoping for. They booed. When they put their hands on Bayley, they booed. That is not what they wanted to see. That is not what the crowd was hoping to see. That is not what they were expecting for the big climax here in this segment. And again, you know, for that to be their great idea for Bayley after the year that she's had, to be beaten around by the Bella Twins, I thought was a disgrace. It was disgraceful that that was the best thing that they could come up with for her to do. They plugged the next pay-per-view on May 16th as WrestleMania Backlash. No doubt to be followed by WrestleMania in the Bank. Extreme WrestleMania Rules. And WrestleMania in a Cell. Anything to prostitute the WrestleMania name, I guess, right? Just slap the word WrestleMania on it. Does that mean that we get to come back and review WrestleMania again here on the YouTube channel next month? Great. Great. We've had a fun weekend here. I think some of you may have had more fun being in the chat and hanging out with everybody here than watching some of the matches on these shows. So we'll get to come back next month and we'll review WrestleMania again. Well, let's get down to brass tacks. Let's get down to the best match of the night. And in fact, I believe the best match of the entire WrestleMania weekend. And that was the main event. Triple threat match for the Universal Championship. Or is Peter Rosenberg on the pre-show. It's not the Universal title. It's the SmackDown title. We had Roman Reigns defending against Edge and Daniel Bryan. And who would have thought? You have two men in Edge and Daniel Bryan. Two men who were medically disqualified from ever performing again by WWE doctors. They were forced into an early retirement due to injury. And who knew that they would find their way back into the WrestleMania main event and it would be in the same match? That's pretty cool. The fact that they were able to work their way back to this level, that's a cool thing. Roman was out with Paul Heyman and Jey Uso. I know some people were disappointed. They were thinking he might debut new theme music tonight. He did not. I don't know why you would think that. I mean, Roman has talked about this before. He says that there is new theme music in the works, but he is saving it for something big that he is going to do, something really evil and sinister and dastardly. And we haven't seen that yet, so I assume he's just waiting for the right moment. Apparently, WrestleMania was not the right moment. So it was the same, you know, the same look, the same music. It doesn't bother me, but I saw some people who were upset about this, and I don't know why you would have thought he was going to have new music tonight anyway, but apparently that was a thing. Yes, I agree with Boucher in the chat. Please hit that like button if you haven't already done so. We have so many people in here. It takes 2 seconds. You could hit that thumbs up. It helps the video out. So I appreciate it if you do so. Jey Uso, right at the very beginning of the match, is doling out super kicks like they're going out of style. He gives Daniel Bryan a super kick on the outside. He gives Edge a super kick outside the ring, which is legal. It's a triple threat match, so no disqualification. Roman clears off the announce desk. Bryan catches him with a dive through the ropes. And again, Jey Uso with another super kick to Daniel Bryan. Edge reverses Jay into the ring steps, and then he goes on the offensive against Roman. And Edge gives the Edgecution DDT to Jey Uso on the flat part of the ring steps. That takes Jey Uso out of the picture for a while. Doctors came down to check on him, make sure he was okay. So we have the first face-off in the ring one-on-one between Daniel Bryan and Edge. Roman Reigns is out on the floor, and Bryan and Edge go at it for a while. Bryan went for a top rope Hurricanrana, but Edge rolled through for a near fall. Bryan hit a missile drop kick to Edge. Bryan went to go hit another dive out of the ring, through the ropes, out onto Roman Reigns, and Roman caught him, and he gave him an overhead belly-to-belly on the floor. So Reigns was booed very heavily. He got the exact reaction the WWE should be ecstatic about. Because now that they've turned him heel, it's not a case of the fans trying to go against the grain and cheer him now like he's the cool heel. They booed him, as they should, because he is the top heel, not only on the SmackDown brand, he's the top heel in the company. And if not the top heel in wrestling, certainly top two. I mean, it's him and who else? I mean, I like Jay White in New Japan, but Roman is pretty much right now at the top of the food chain. And these people did not like him. They booed him. They chanted, "Roman sucks." Because there was a question, how are the fans going to react to him? You know, this guy turned heel after all these years in front of no fans. So there was no telling how the people might react to him. Again, I got to say, I was surprised that Edge was the one who was cheered the most. Even, it just felt to me like he was cheered even more than Bryan was. Roman and Edge both went for spears at the same time. They collided head on. Bryan hit a flying headbutt to Edge and another one to Roman Reigns, but he only gets a two count on Roman. So things are really picking up here. People are standing up. They're really into this. This feels like the main event of a big WrestleMania show. Yes kicks to Roman. Yes kicks to Edge. Bryan hits the running knee to Edge. In comes Roman. Bryan catches him with a kick to the head, covers him, but again, he kicks out. He should have pinned Edge. The hell's he doing worrying about Roman Reigns? Go pin Edge. You hit your finishing move on him. Bryan traps Roman in the S lock. Edge is back up. Bryan locks Edge in the S lock. But Roman then breaks that up. So we had loud Roman sucks chants as he stood on the ring steps right in front of the announce desk. He powerbombed Daniel Bryan through the announce desk. And from out of nowhere, here comes Edge. He spears Roman off the ring steps that he was standing on. And now all three men are down. Edge rolls Roman back inside, goes searching for something. He retrieves a steel chair. But when he comes back into the ring, Roman steps on the chair. So he can't use it, kicks the chair away. Edge locks on a crossface, and his eyes are just bugging out of his head. Edge looked like a man possessed here in this match. He looked psychotic. He looked like a raving lunatic. Edge had a piece of the chair, one of the chair that he had brought in, and he had a piece of the chair in his hand, and he's like a bar, and he's got it in Roman's mouth while he has him in the crossface. And so Roman has nowhere to go. He's got this piece of steel wedged in between his teeth. And it looks like he's about to tap out. All of a sudden, Daniel Bryan climbs into the ring and he prevents Roman from tapping out because it looked like he was going to. Daniel Bryan stopped him from doing so. And he applies the yes lock to Roman's one free arm. So on one side, you have Edge having him in the crossface. On the other side, Daniel Bryan's got him in the yes lock. Great visual stereo submissions going on at the same time. Edge and Bryan start headbutting each other to break both holds. So now Bryan goes in the corner, and he starts throwing up the yes chants. He's throwing up the fingers. The crowd is chanting yes. He's getting ready to hit the big knee. Goes for the running knee, but Edge hits a spear instead. Bryan is down. Superman punch from Roman Reigns misses, and Edge hits a spear. Has the match won. And at the very last second, Daniel Bryan drags the referee out to the floor. Again, totally legal, no DQ. Edge now has this, again, crazed look on his face. He grabs two chairs, and he places them in the ring. He grabs a third one. He hits Bryan across the back with it. Now they're back in the ring. Edge starts just unloading on these guys with chair shots to the back over and over and over again. Edge places chairs under each of their faces. And he is getting ready for the concertos. Here come the concertos to both men. One for Bryan. So that wipes out Daniel Bryan. But before he can get to Roman, Jey Uso is back. Edge hits a spear. He starts destroying Uso with chair shots. But he turns right around into a spear by Roman Reigns. And now Roman hits a concerto of his own. Hits a concerto to Edge. And with that, Roman Reigns stacks Edge on top of Bryan's lifeless body and pins them both at the same time to retain the Universal Championship. Somebody in the chat before said that wouldn't that count as a pin for Edge, since technically Edge was on top of Daniel Bryan? Well, the referee didn't see it that way. Roman Reigns is the champion. All hail the Tribal Chief. Roman Reigns is still your Universal Champion, as he should be. His reign has a lot of gas left in the tank. It is still too early to take that title off of Roman Reigns, as dominant as he has been. Although he does seem to need Jey Uso to help fight his battles for him in every match. But as well as he has been booked, as dominant as he has been booked, you still have a whole list of different opponents for him coming out of this pay-per-view. So I was very happy to see him hold on to that title. I thought this was a fantastic main event and the best match on either night. I would put this a little bit above the women's match on night one, and I love the women's match on night one, but I thought this was the better, more exciting match. The fans obviously seemed like they were more into it as well. It was the best promoted match coming into the show. The fact that this was the best match on the show, in my opinion, it really isn't a surprise, because not only was the match good, but the buildup was too. The promo work, the story work coming into this match, you had the expectation that this was going to be the best match on the card. This was not a surprise. This did not come out of nowhere. And these three guys went in there and they delivered what I thought was a fantastic main event. And we end this WrestleMania 37 this year with two very strong main events on night one and night two. So, you know, they started strong and they ended strong on night one, which is one of the reasons why I put night one above night two. They did not start strong on night two. Whatever the opposite of starting strong is, starting limp. That's how they started this show tonight. But they ended on a very high note. Very heel-heavy show. Sheamus winning the U.S. title, Apollo winning the Intercontinental title. Orton, who was supposed to be the heel, beating The Fiend. Rhea, who was booked very much like a heel going into the Raw Women's title match, she won. And Roman Reigns wins in the main event. Very heel-heavy show. So who's next for Roman Reigns? Is it Daniel Bryan? Is it Edge? You could do the individual matches now. You guys already know who I think it should be. Thy name is Cesaro, the Swiss Superman, who got a big win over Seth Rollins last night on night one. He is in prime position now to compete for the Universal title. He may not win it, but you could absolutely do Cesaro one-on-one against Roman Reigns. I would like to see them do that match, maybe a Backlash. I'm sorry, WrestleMania Backlash. See, WrestleMania Backlash implies it's going to involve Daniel Bryan and or Edge in some way. I guess we'll have to wait and see what they have planned for the next pay-per-view. But you got Cesaro. You can start building up Big E. It's still a little early for that, but you could start building Big E up as an eventual contender, maybe for the championship. You've got some options on that SmackDown brand without even doing a roster shakeup. Just the way the roster is currently composed, you've got better options on SmackDown than you do for the WWE title on Raw. They have a real problem on the Monday Night Raw side And again, not knowing when Keith Lee might be back, because he could be in the mix. They have a real depth issue on that Raw side, and maybe it's time for them to call up somebody from NXT. Exactly who that might be, I don't know. I don't know that I want anybody to be called up for their own sake, frankly, especially to go to Raw. This feels like a death sentence. But Rhea Ripley is the new champion, so she's done well for herself so far. But I liked night one better than I like night two. I have to thank everybody who has sent in a super chat tonight, really for both streams this weekend. I don't even know what day of the week it is, man. There's been so much going on, all the different shows and streams and everything. I've been getting like 2.5 hours of sleep every night. And you guys have made this a lot of fun. Despite all the work and all the stress involved in putting everything together and preparing for all the shows. And, you know, I did a podcast this morning, episode 699, with almost an hour of history alone this week in history. The response to all of this stuff has just been incredible. And I can't thank you enough for that. Ryan Spies, the Fiend match ending had me in tears. It was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And it was hilarious because of how little I care. Unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of people who feel the same way. When you get to that point where you just are completely... when you're completely apathetic, basically, to the character and what is going on with the character, to me, that's the point of no return. You know, when you get to that point of apathy and just not caring, like, you can't even bring yourself to get upset about it or get angry about it. You're done. You know, you don't want people to not care about what's going on. There's the Christian Cage super chat. Christian, he's looking. I don't know what he's looking for, but he's looking. The Ravishing Richard Ruin. I'm one of the dumb ones who loves Bray and the Fiend. We still have time to turn that around in the show, but knowing WWE, well, there's still Owens and Zayn. I see he sent that early on in the show tonight. Lord Frieza, the guy in the dreads that gave Apollo the assist looked familiar, almost like I saw him a couple of months ago. Maybe this vaccine is making me hallucinate. Yeah, WWE just wants us to think that we're all a bunch of dipshits. We all just have short-term memory. We don't remember what happened 3 weeks ago. Vince McMahon loves walking around with that Men in Black device. What's it called? The Neuralizer? Is that what they called it? They had a name for it. I think that's what they called it. Alfonso Rodriguez. Could a face Rhea Ripley heel Asuka have been better? It was kind of underwhelming, to be honest. I don't think it would have mattered. Honestly, I don't think it would have mattered. If the buildup was not enough to really hook people into it, then whoever's the heel and whoever's the face, it really doesn't matter. The people wanted to cheer for Rhea, they would have cheered for Rhea. Even if she was supposed to be the heel, if they were really that into her, then, you know, they would have cheered for her more than they did. The Ravishing Richard Ruin again. This super chat is sponsored by Snickers. PB, I have to shout out PB because before I even went live tonight, dropped $200 on the stream. Thank you for all the reviews you did this week. Really appreciate it. Could not listen to the review tonight as work starts early tomorrow. Yeah, so he couldn't be here for the live stream. He wanted to drop a super chat early. I was not expecting the first bomb of the night to come in before I even went live. So PB, if you're watching this or listening to this on the replay, thank you very much. And Nayef, thank you for that $20. Night Tracks. The main event was the best match of the night. I agree. Carlos Naftali. Great main event. Outcome was predictable, but the right choice. However, they should have closed with a babyface winning, maybe Drew McIntyre. I disagree. I don't think you always have to have the babyface ending. There really was no other match on this show that deserved to be in the main event slot, at least not tonight, on night two. This was the match. More so than Drew and Bobby. You compare the buildup between the WWE title match and the Universal title match, I mean, there is no comparison. This match was the main event. This was the true main event of WrestleMania. As much as I loved Sasha and Bianca, this was the match that should have gone on last. And it was the best promoted match of anything on the show. I mean, it wasn't even close. C-Dust19, I strongly believe Roman Reigns should hold onto that belt until next year's WrestleMania. Possible. I don't know. That, you know, that's a long time for them to try to keep things interesting. In the meantime, I think people are going to get sick. I mean, give it another 6 months, they might be sick of it. You know, look, it's up to the company to do a good job of keeping us interested and keeping enough interesting, you know, contenders for him to work with. If they can do that, then sure, he can hold on to the belt for 6 months, 9 months, a year. You just don't see that a lot these days. And I just don't, I don't see it happening. Rizzo, great main event. My only issue with tonight was the ending of The Fiend. Great gimmick in WWE, killed it. Where does Bray and The Fiend go from here? You killed it this week, by the way. I appreciate that. I don't know where he goes from here. I can't even honestly say that I care. I mean, I'm mildly curious about the Alexa Bliss stuff, I guess, but I have fallen into that camp now of just total apathy towards anything involving The Fiend. It's exactly what I was hoping wouldn't happen, but that's where we are. Kelly Loves Cats says Roman Reigns is kind of hot. I'll take your word for it. Bobby's World. Really enjoyed both nights. Night one was better, but this super chat is for the Solo Monster, working his ass off for all of us as always. Hats off to you, sir. The real icon. The real icon. Bobby, as long as you enjoy the content and you check it out, then I'll keep doing it. HBK says, seem to be a lot of spots on the ring apron tonight. Good show. Daz Rinko, I enjoyed both nights of WrestleMania. Having live fans really makes a difference. By the way, thanks for all of the content. You're welcome. Put some of the music on. I almost forgot. There we go. Keep forgetting, man. You're going to have a super chat party. You got to get some music going. Get the disco ball to come down. Alfonso Rodriguez. Match of the year. Belair versus Banks. I'm calling it. All right, well, Alfonso just made the prediction. He thinks the match of the year at the end of this year is going to be Sasha Banks against Bianca Belair. I don't know if I could say that just because I put the main event tonight just slightly above it. It will definitely be in the conversation, though. For sure. It will definitely be, I think, on that list. I mean, it's only April. So I guess we'll see where we're at match-wise at the end of this year. But look, I love both main events. I'm not... I just think I like this one more. I thought this was the better match, but you can't go wrong with either one of these main events. They were fantastic. You know, you had last night on night one, you had Bianca Belair, who is going to be one of the faces of the future in this company. And you have Sasha Banks. And, you know, somebody asked me about Sasha last night or where I rank her or whatever. Sasha Banks is probably the best women's wrestler right now in the entire company. And she's really one of the best, I think, in the world. I mean, it's not really that bold of a statement, I think. I think it's pretty solid. It's a pretty solid statement to make. Her body of work, I think, speaks for itself. And when she's in a big-time match, like she was last night at WrestleMania, or some of these other big singles pay-per-view matches that she's in, she is one of the more must-see performers to me on that entire roster. She always goes out there. She always, kills it, whoever she's in the ring with. She's worked with a whole bunch of different people, from Charlotte to Becky to Bayley, now Bianca. She worked with Asuka. And she's always having very good or great matches. So I would say that Sasha is the best going right now. How do you like that for a statement? Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks is the best. Kelly Loves Cat says, y'all just mad. The Gary Sphere. I get Roman is a heel, but is he really a heel that needs the assist from Jay in every single match? Yes, they probably are definitely overdoing it on the Jey Uso interference. They could definitely be well suited to tone that down. I think I said that a minute ago. You make a good point there. TH Revolution with the $15. I do think night one was slightly better, but I really enjoyed both nights. With Big E losing the IC title, I am convinced that he will beat Roman at SummerSlam. If not E, then who do you think will beat Roman? I don't know if they're setting up for someone new who's never had it before, like Big E, or if they think they're going to get The Rock or somebody for a WrestleMania match, but I mean, The Rock is not going to win the title. Who takes the championship away? You know, Big E would be a good name. They got to build him up more. It's probably still too early for that. But I think, yeah, I mean, Big E is someone... I just don't see Cesaro getting it. You know, Cesaro's never been champion before. He is being built up. He's been more built up than Big E has been. I just don't see them putting the title on him. But the rosters can change. Over the course of the year, it's very possible they shake the rosters up. People move. It could be somebody on the Raw brand who we're not thinking of, maybe, who beats him. Drew McIntyre. You know, they might want to come back again, do another match between Roman and Drew. They had an excellent match at Survivor Series until the finish. And maybe Drew McIntyre moves to SmackDown. I'm thinking more and more that might be his destination in the near future. Thunder Knight, night two was way too heel dominated. Mr. Noob Tube Gamer says, what a lame show with a really bad finish. Oh, he was not a fan. Well. Sean Waters, the Fiend finally suffers from babyface stupidity, as I believe you once called it. No, I called it dumb babyface syndrome, DBS. I've talked about this many times before. That is the name that I gave it years ago on the podcast. And everybody on that roster at one time or another has suffered from dumb babyface syndrome. If it's someone's music goes off and they're distracted, or they fall for something that seems very obvious, if they're easily distracted, they're like a cat. You shine a light on the floor and they can't help but follow it. Dumb babyface syndrome is a real thing for which there is no cure in this company. Jesus Gomez, I had the most fun watching the first two matches in the main event. Why the first two matches, you ask? Because they were so bad that it was hilarious. P.S. Rhea's win and match felt very lifeless. Dry chicken without flavor. Oh, he is no longer burnt. After the Fiend versus Orton match, the curse has been broken. I am no longer burnt. Dry chicken without flavor. But still, dry chicken is the worst thing to eat. Alexa Bliss, black goo. WTF. Wilfredo Flores. Nobody meaner or more over than Tamina. She and Natty were screwed. Hello, everyone. Well, there's the one Tamina fan that we have in the chat here tonight. JC Zephyr. Night one was certainly above and beyond, better than night two, but the triple threat was my favorite match of the night. Hashtag acknowledge him. Lance Morrell, for the most part, the people should have won. Mostly Rhea and Apollo ended up winning. Kurt Wright, were you shocked at Roman still getting boos? No. No, I mean, I wasn't sure what the reaction would be in a big stadium for the first time. But he's done a tremendous job, I think, of of playing the part. It just means that he's doing his job well. I'm not surprised at all. Erasmo Solis sent $20 in, no message. He just wanted to show some love. Erasmo, thank you, man. Love Gun. The guy booking women's Raw matches needs a kick in the balls. Rhea versus Asuka was meh. Domination Warrior, main event is what was definitely it, Chief. Lou Rivera, Brock versus Roman in a For the Love of Paul Heyman match. That's going to be very interesting. If Brock does come back, but he comes back to Raw to wrestle Bobby Lashley, let's say it's SummerSlam for the WWE title, does Paul Heyman come out with him? Does Paul Heyman continue to represent Roman on SmackDown? And he is on Raw as the advocate for Brock Lesnar. Because if Brock's going to come back, you got to have Heyman with him. I wouldn't break that combo up. But I was thinking about that. You know, does Heyman come out with him or not? Two separate brands, right? They don't even have to necessarily bring it up in the... In the storylines on SmackDown, they could just have him show up on Raw with Brock, and on Fridays, he's with Roman. Ken terminated by DQ. I don't know if you saw my gratitude last night, but thank you for entertaining me and being awesome, Solomonster. I did. I thought I read it. But thank you, Ken. BWT56. So, Edge versus Bryan and Cesaro versus Reigns at the next pay-per-view. It looks like it. Cesaro is set up to be the number one contender, in my opinion. And Edge and Bryan can go off on their own and have a singles match. I mean, that could be your main and co-main at the Backlash event. Brumakian Productions. I find it so amusing that Godzilla versus Kong was better than WrestleMania 37 Night 2. At least I was not bored watching that movie. Brian Becerra, I felt night one was better than night two. Main event was all right. Roman should place Edge next to Brian, put one hand on Edge and one on Brian. And as count happens, saying, acknowledge me. John Falchetta, Roman stacked them up like Saturday morning jobbers. That he did. Or isn't that what Ryback used to do? Ryback used to have those 3-on-1 handicap matches and he would stack them up one on the other. Chad Jackson. I love how they portray Roman as a dominant heel, yet he can never win without help, like Jinder Mahal and the Singh brothers. Hugo. Well, mixed bag. I'm devastated for Natty and Tamina. Devastated. I wouldn't go that far. Devastated for Natty and Tamina, but incredibly euphoric for both Asuka and Rhea. That match will have a fond place in my heart. Congratulations to Rhea Ripley, and thank you, Empress. Joe Olivo with the $20 Super Chat drop. The main event was match of the year in my book. I don't see Roman dropping the belt anytime soon. Also, the Fiend is buried, and Sister Abigail has left Alexa's soul. Alexa Bliss as the Fiend's slave gimmick is over. Steve in the chat, I am somewhat familiar with Alex Hammerstone. I've heard of him. I know who he is, but I haven't seen too much of his work in MLW. I just haven't had a chance. But I do know who he is. Yipster16. Hi, Solomonster. Been a fan for 5 years. Keep up the good work. Pop quiz. Do you remember who beat Bobby Lashley at last year's WrestleMania? Do I remember who beat Bobby Lashley at last year's WrestleMania? I do not, actually. I'm trying to think. Who did Bobby Lashley wrestle at last year's WrestleMania? I don't remember. But I'm sure somebody will let me know. JC Zephyr, I saw Zinfamous HD's tweet on the Watch Along post-show stream. What a great shout-out. Is that the official WWE stream? Well, good for him. Good for Zinfamous. I'm glad. If I can help make his tweet famous, then that makes me happy. David with the $5. So, getting that Monday Night Raw live stream. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. Don't you dare put that evil on me. Don't even think about it. So people are saying it was Aleister Black. You know how sad it is that I don't even remember Aleister Black having a match on the WrestleMania card last year. You talk about a waste of talent. Boy, could I go on about Aleister Black. He's another one like Andrade who I would love to see go spread his wings somewhere else outside the company where he'll actually be appreciated. Ian Gomez, another cool-looking shirt, Mr. Solomon Monster. Thank you. Thank you. We got the Vipers. We get the Wipers. We got the Wipers. We got some snakes and barbed wire and shit. Nothing cooler than snakes and barbed wire, right? Donzel Hawkins, mental and sobriety problems. You help calm me down. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I hope you're doing well. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show, Donzel. Rodimus Prime with the $30. Wow, that was the Christian Cage Super Chat drop. Thought the main event saved night two, but I thought night one was definitely better. Hit that like button if you are hanging out with us tonight. Subscribe to the channel if you're not already a subscriber. We have tons of new content going up every week. But all of your likes and thumbs up on the video will help it out a great deal. So again, if you have not already done so, if you just popped in, hit that thumbs up. Takes 2 seconds. Doesn't cost you a thing. EJ, this was the best overall WrestleMania since 31. Thank you for all of your great work this week. And it is an L in my last name, not an I. Okay, EJ Slim. For some reason, from here, it just always looks like an I to me. Some Sopranos fans in the chat, right? We're with the wipers. God, I miss that show. When does the Many Saints of Newark come out, right? That's the Sopranos prequel movie. It's supposed to be coming out, I think, in a few months. I think it got pushed back. One of those movies that got pushed back because of the pandemic. Andrew Lolivar, would you rather watch Bray and Orton at WrestleMania 33 for 10 hours straight or Bray against Orton at WrestleMania 37 for 10 hours straight? I would rather take this mug and smash it over my head and be unconscious for 10 hours straight. Uffman Entertainment, sweep the leg. Sean D, that did not look like Bray Wyatt's Fiend to me. Adventures of Max. What did you think of the empty stadium match between Vince McMahon and God that opened night one? I would say it was a victory for God. It's like if Vince McMahon took the L in that one. Alejandro says September 24th. Oh man, we gotta wait. We gotta wait until the fall? Well, all good things come to those who wait, I guess, right? Jacob Barnes, if the Fiend just completely destroyed Orton, then I would not have had an issue with the match. But of course, WWE has crapped the bed with Bray Wyatt once again. Unfortunately, that seems to be a consistent theme when it comes to Bray Wyatt. So I don't know that any of us should really be all that surprised. Frost 767, just like 31, this WrestleMania proved that a bad build does not mean a bad show. Sean Waters, no, it wasn't just you. Cole was god-awful. I lost count how many times he reminded us that we were live at Raymond James Stadium during a match. I counted twice during the main event. Stuff like that I can't blame him for, because he's being told to say that. He's got somebody, you know, he's probably got you-know-who in his ear telling him to say it, or the producer Kevin Dunn or somebody is in his ear feeding him those lines. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about just other stuff where he just crapped the bed this weekend, including the main event last night. He was just off of his game, plain and simple. I thought the commentary was awful for WrestleMania this weekend. Just atrocious. Green 49285. They want Orton to have a streak. Why else would he win? Cack Burlington. Alexa Bliss is a Papa Shango-like structure. Abyssal Zones. Thank you for the $2. I-Rod, Botchamania is going to be fun. Oh, I can't wait. Botchamania is going to be like a 6-part series after this weekend. Chris Quellman, here's a super chat. Like and comment. And subscribe. Like, comment, and subscribe. You got to get it right. That Joe guy with the $20. Solid Monster, with the way both world title matches ended, do you think that you can conceivably drop Brock Lesnar in either situation? Which do you feel is the better match or storyline? The better storyline is Roman Reigns. The better match, it could be either one. I think the match that has the most appeal is probably the Lashley match, because it's a match we've never seen. We've seen Roman and Brock so many times. You know, the dynamic would be different, though, if Roman is a heel. I think both matches have a lot of appeal. Brock's been gone now for over a year, so it's not like he's been overexposed. In Bobby Lashley, you have somebody who has MMA experience like he does and had some success in mixed martial arts, who has never stepped into the ring with him before. And in Roman Reigns, there's a history there. You throw the Paul Heyman factor in there. I would be game for either one of those matches, to be honest with you. But if it were up to me, I would go for the Bobby Lashley match first, just because we haven't seen it before. HBK, the hell is up with Michael Cole? Says the dude was bugging this weekend. Sean D, what in God's name did Bray do to Randy backstage? Seriously, there must be some reason he keeps burying him, right? It's not Randy Orton who's doing the burying. Dry chicken without flavor. Big shout out to Omos throwing up the X sign, not an actual DX reference, just to pay tribute to DMX while AJ Styles' theme song was playing. The comedic genius, not the first time Hogan used a hard arg. Ali Nadim, I'm starting to think there's something in Bray's contract where he is not allowed to win matches. He is the eater of pins. I came up with that name for him many years ago with a picture with him with bowling pins in his mouth. I still have it on my phone. He is the eater of pins. That's why I said Vince McMahon, with all this booking and everything we've seen from Wyatt over the years, he can be the eater of dicks for all I care. Turtlehead, after Alexa mounted Orton, she wanted some more. Is that where this storyline is going? Ryan Spies, I was considering watching weekly again, but Mania Night 2 sucked bad enough for me to pass. I will stick to Dynamite. Well, I'll be here on Wednesday, so come on down. Come on down to the YouTube stream every Wednesday. We talk AEW Dynamite. If you want a palate cleanser for WrestleMania. ZOMG Ruler. Tamina was 24/7, 11 Euro TV champion. Does that count? I don't count that. Doesn't count to me. Ava does stuff. Wow, you don't look like your voice. Listened to your podcast yesterday and decided to watch live tonight. Great coverage, and thank you. Well, thank you, Ava. Welcome to the family. Everybody in the chat, say hi to Ava and welcome Ava to the stream. Theo, who do you see wrestling Lashley at SummerSlam this year and WrestleMania next year? Lesnar, Cena, a babyface Orton, or Goldberg? Also, do you see Austin hosting WrestleMania in Dallas? An Undertaker going into the Hall of Fame. I think that is the perfect place for Undertaker to go into the Hall of Fame. Skip WrestleMania this year. Take a year off. Come to Texas. Put him in the Hall of Fame. He'll be the crowning inductee next year. Austin hosting WrestleMania, very possible, especially with him being featured in the commercial. I think those two things are very likely. The other questions, I don't know. I mean, Goldberg still has some matches left on his contract, so he is going to be back. You know, him and Lashley, the only thing that worries me about that, he shouldn't be beating Lashley. And Goldberg has now lost his last two matches, I believe, right? He lost to Drew. He lost to Braun Strowman. He's gonna have to win one. So you can feed somebody to him. Hey, you know what? Feed the Fiend to him at this point. The Fiend's already lost to Goldberg once before. I mean, the way he's been booked, I mean, does it even matter at this point? May as well. Ken Terminated, thank you for the facepalm. Japanese or not, I am offended over Cole's wrong call over Taka's move. I wish Taka gave Michael a brain buster. I'm telling you, man, if anybody does any kind of move, Michael Cole automatically, or Sami Zayn does any kind of move, Michael Cole automatically assumes that it is a Blue Thunderbomb. He could give the guy a clothesline, Blue Thunderbomb. Give the guy a Huluva kick, Blue Thunderbomb. Give the guy a low blow, Blue Thunderbolts. Steven Slater. I see a ton of negative comments on the main event. The three men tore the house down, and the right guy won. Big E versus Cruz was also good. Who is crapping on the main event? Show me who these people are, and I will call them out for being fools. I haven't seen any of that in the chat tonight. Seems to me people were pretty happy with that main event. It was an excellent match. What's not to like? Unless you're just salty because your guy didn't win. If you don't like the fact that the heel won, if you don't like the fact that Roman Reigns retained, that's not a reflection on the match. The match was awesome. And then we have Professor John Gotti, who I shouted out earlier in the stream, and I will shout him out once more. It says, Night 2 just did not measure up. Solid Monster calling it straight down the middle. Professor John Gotti with the $500 bomb. The biggest super chat in Solid Monster Sounds Off history. You are, if we have a Hall of Fame, you are officially inducted into the Sound Off Hall of Fame tonight. I just don't have, you know, I can't trot you out on the red carpet like they do for the WWE Hall of Famers. So you'll just have to settle for me sitting here thanking you. But seriously, you went above and beyond. Thank you very much. Dop Dop, that main event tonight was fantastic. The other matches, not so much. Love Night 1, except that tag team turmoil. WWE does not care about Bray Wyatt. Have a good one, Night Trax. Thanks for joining, brother. That was my reaction to Katrina. It's my Katrina super chat right there. He was talking about Edge's eyes bugging out of his head on the pay-per-view tonight. That's when my eyes bugged out of my head. And I was doing a live stream, and all of a sudden a video of Katrina pops up, addressing me. You know, I interviewed her on the show many years ago. It's been too long. Might have to look into doing that again. Steven Slater, Solid Monster, what is your favorite WrestleMania main event? I love Austin against Rock at WrestleMania 17. Well, I mean, does it have, it has to be main event? Ugh. Boy, main event. I don't know, that's tough. I have a lot of favorite WrestleMania matches. But if we're just kind of narrowing it down to the main event, I don't know, I have to think about that. I'm still very partial to Hogan Warrior at WrestleMania 6, but that's because, you know, that match will always have a place in my fandom. I remember what it was like, you know, watching that match live when I was younger. But a lot of the matches I love were technically not the main event. You know, Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker had the greatest match in WrestleMania history. It wasn't the main event at 25. Bret Hart and Steve Austin, WrestleMania 13, not the main event. You know, Savage and Flair, Bret and Piper at WrestleMania 8, not the main event. Hogan Rock, WrestleMania 18, not the main event. You know, Austin Rock at 17 is an easy choice, I guess. That might be it. But I don't know. I have to give that some more thought. EJ, Adnan Virk is replacing the wrong announcer. I think you may be right. Ken terminated. I think Professor John Gotti is going to use most or all of his stimulus check on you. I don't think Professor John Gotti qualified for a stimulus check. You're assuming he received one. I don't think that's the case. Dry Chicken, I wonder if everyone was playing a drinking game when anytime Michael Cole was botching on commentary during WrestleMania both nights. Well, I wasn't because I had a stream to do. And if I would have done that, I would be passed out on the floor right now. Dallas Caballero, decent show. Night one was better. The Bayley segment was awful. Hope Keith Lee returns soon. Also a main roster return for Finn Balor. I do believe that is in the cards. That's a great point. And if so, what brand does he end up on? Could we get Finn and Roman? Or would we get Finn and Lashley? Both interesting potential matches. Forgot about Balor. I mean, the likely, you know, kind of progression for him, he's kind of done all he can do in NXT. Either he goes and does something with Walter for the UK title, or he comes back to Raw or SmackDown. Harley. Very happy with this WrestleMania. Was not heavily relying on part-timers unlike last year. This year it was definitely about the current talent. That's a great point. No Undertaker, no John Cena, no Triple H, no Rock. It was about making talent like Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair and keeping Bobby Lashley strong. And Bobby Lashley's not new, but you know, him being in this position is new. So that's a great point, especially in the case of Rhea and Asuka, or Rhea and Bianca. Apollo is another one. This was more of a WrestleMania that put more of the focus on the newer names. And it's something that they have desperately got to do because they have spent so many years focusing on the part-timers, on the old guys. That it came at the expense, I think, of creating all of these new stars that they're going to need these people to carry their company for the next 5, 10, 15 years. Now is the time to start building them up. At some point, they were going to get to that point where you're not always going to have Triple H. You're not always going to have The Undertaker. You've got to focus on your newer stars. And they did a better job of that this year than they have most other years. Let's see. How do I pronounce this? ACE. How about that? We'll call him Ace. Ace Conduce. There we go. I was totally reading that the wrong way. I was like, Asinaduce. Ace Conduce. What's going on? Thank you for the 10 spot. Really think you can string out Brian Edge a lot longer. Maybe draft Brian to Raw and win the WWE title eventually. Then Edge wins Money in the Bank. Cash is in on Brian, and they feud possibly through WrestleMania 38. So he's thinking long-term. That's some long-term booking that he's doing right there. Dry Chicken, when Big E hit Apollo with the gong, that sound effect got me thinking about Mortal Kombat 2 character selection screen. Hulkling 93, a heel heavy Mania week when you add TakeOver, besides rematches with Sasha and Asuka. I'm not sure how much you can get with Bianca and Rhea's respectively, since the divisions lack credibility. Well, they can't be the only new names. They're going to have to call up a few more names. They have a wealth of female talent in NXT right now, so if they want to, they can call up one more new name on Raw, one more new name on SmackDown. Whether it's a Candice LeRae, whether it's a Dakota Kai, Io Shirai. I worry very much about Io. I'd rather not see Io move just because I absolutely do not believe they would do right by her. Maybe Io, though. Maybe Io is on her way to one of the two brands. CAC Burlington triple threat matches. What match you got? WrestleMania 20, WrestleMania 30, or WrestleMania 37? Great question. My personal preference is either 30 or 37. Oh, boy. You know what? I was there for 30. That one just hit differently with me. And the ending of that match, I can't bet against that. I got to go WrestleMania 30. I got to buy on WrestleMania 30. Brandy Hell Yeah, is a hot dog a sandwich? No. Steven Chapa, $30. Now covered up by Naya's hole. Great timing on that. Big thanks for working as hard as you do this weekend. You're the best, Solid Monster. Steven, I hope you enjoyed the streams. Curtis Hooper, let's bump that up a little bit. There we go. Edge totally tapped Edge's leg when in the crossface. Edge totally tapped Edge's leg? Is that like when Owen told Brett that I kicked your leg out of your leg? Love Gun. We had a viewing party for 4 days. Consensus is better take a Roman Reigns beating than a Walter chop. I think that's a very accurate statement. Merlo Williams, I did not catch all of both nights, but it's a crying shame that Reginald made it on the show and Nakamura did not. Talk about a screw job. Manuel Macias with the $1.99. Granny Hell Yeah, night one was far superior to night two. Thanks for a great week of streams on top of the podcast and early congrats on 700 next week. Yes, we are heading into episode 700. Of the main podcast next Sunday. And we're going to be doing a live inbox, a live Q&A stream answering your email questions and your super chat questions next Sunday. We're going to have a whole party here on the channel. It's coming up a week from now, Sunday, April 18th. So I hope that you will join me. It's basically just a celebration of 700. Celebrating 700 episodes of The Sound Off, going all the way back to 2007. Wild to think that it's been that long, but it has been. We got over 600 likes on this video. At one point, we had 3,000 people tuned in. We got to get those likes up. So again, hit the thumbs up. Help the video out. Let's get those likes up here on this stream. I know you guys can do it. I know it's late. But hit that thumbs up. Yeah, in the chat, JC couldn't believe it. 700. It's going to be 700 episodes next week. Where does time go? Where does time go when you're having fun, right? Dry Chicken, would you like to see Karrion Kross against The Fiend in a WrestleMania match? No, I really don't have any interest in seeing The Fiend in any WrestleMania matches. It's over. I'm over it. So I don't really care. I mean, it doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't interest me. It doesn't excite me. I don't care. Carlos. Really starting to think Jey Uso will eventually be the one to end Roman's title reign, barring a big return from Punk, Dean Ambrose, or John Cena. No way. Not going to happen. Granny Hell Yeah, glad both Royal Rumble winners got to close the show. Who are we to doubt El Dandy? Mads, triple threat from tonight or WrestleMania 30? I just answered that. I'm going with WrestleMania 30. Shino D. Phoenix, night one is better than night two. Raquel, Bianca, and Rhea are champions and I don't mind it at all. What's next for Asuka? By the way, I got a cameo from Asuka. That's very cool. I don't know what is in the future for Asuka. She could maybe get a rematch out of it, but after that, maybe it might just be time to move her over to SmackDown just to shake things up a little bit. She's been the MVP of Raw now for a year. I think SmackDown could be a landing spot for her. Jesus Gomez, would you put this Mania's triple threat in the top 10 or top 5 best triple threats in WWE history? It would be in the, I would say it would be in the top 10 for sure. Top 5, I don't know about that. But top 10, yes, I would put it in the top 10. Andrew, happy to see Roman retain the belt. The belt-like object, he says. There you go, yeah. It's only a matter of time before Michael Cole is referring to it as a... No, see, can't say the word belt. Can't say the word belt. Actually, that one won't fly. Vince won't like that one. You got to come up with something else. Timothy Seeley, best Mania since 31. I am totally on the Roman boat now. John Garcia, thank you for all the coverage this week. Night one was better than night two. I'm sorry, night one was better, just like with NXT TakeOver. Tonight's start was rough. Not even Alexa Bliss can make me care about that finish, and I love Alexa Bliss. Hugo, when it comes to Aleister Black, should The Fiend have knocked on the door? Yeah, I mean, that would have been a great program. Aleister Black and The Fiend, but not the version of Aleister Black that we got on Raw last year. I'm talking about the version of Aleister Black that we got from NXT. And I feel like with both these guys, they've just killed any potential of any real interesting matches with them, because how do you get people to care again? Once people give up, it's very hard to come back from that. Paul Heyman, thoughts on a Damian Priest versus Roman Reigns match? It's like a Roman 1 versus Roman 2. I think at some point it would be a great match, but they're on different brands, and you're first building Damian Priest right now. Damian Priest right now, you're in building mode with him. You don't put him in there with Roman Reigns to lose. Give it a year, 2 years. I think that could be a main event match. Chris Kukler, thanks for all the coverage. You podcasting machine, much love. Yeah, my battery is running low. But thank you. The comedic genius, Michael Cole's commentary was poopy. Sorry, I had to. Yipster, it's too bad the SmackDown tag titles were excluded from WrestleMania rather than the women's turmoil match. Thank you, Solomon Monster. Daniel Carr, thank you for the $2. The cap on this app. What's good, Solo? First time, long time. Did that coach from Marquette ever get back to you? No. Also, buy or sell Michael Cole right now or Vic Joseph? Not really enamored with either one, to be honest with you. If you put me on the spot, I probably would go Vic Joseph, but that's not really... I'm not overly enthusiastic about that. And EJ Slim, could Bray going to NXT save his career? There's no point. I mean, there's no point. If anything, I feel like it would bring down NXT. NXT does not need Bray Wyatt. NXT does not need Bray Wyatt. So I don't think that would help, no. And we have one more super chat, I think, left, it looks like, coming in from Abdul Rahman. There it is. Aleister Black returning soon? What do you think? Are you asking me, or did you hear that from somewhere? Because I haven't heard anything new about Aleister Black. If he is returning soon, I have no idea if it will be to Raw. I have no idea if it will be to SmackDown. I will believe it when I see it. And Oz and Glory is with the $5. Many Saints of Newark on September 24th. Thanks for all your work this week. And in general, Bray Wyatt to AEW to head up the Dark Order. No, I mean, again, I don't see the purpose. I don't see the point in doing it. Especially, you know, Dark Order is portrayed as a comedy group on AEW. Bray Wyatt going there is not going to make any difference at all. It's not going to make a lick of difference. So we are all caught up with your messages. Man, That was fantastic. You guys absolutely destroyed it today. Absolutely killed it. We got another one coming in from Ken. Ken terminated. The comedic genius's super chat is a defecating like comment. By the way, what about Shawn Michaels Undertaker 2 as the best main event of WrestleMania history? It's in contention. I like 25 a little bit better than 26. But 25 is my favorite match. And so, yeah, 26 is right there. You know what? It might be 26. That nice jumping tombstone finish at the very end there. 26 might be it. 26, you have the triple threat at 30. Even Brock and Roman at 31 with the Money in the Bank cash in from Seth. I mean, that was pretty great. You know, Austin Rock X7, that's going to be an answer you hear from a lot of people. That was obviously a great match. I don't know if I can narrow it down without giving it some more thought. I feel like I'm missing a few matches I might want to have on that list. 26 would definitely be in contention, though. There's no doubt. Yukio Rules. Enjoyed night one more, but overall I enjoyed both shows. What did you think of Logan Stunner? I thought he actually sold it well. He sold it like his neck got snapped in half, and then he laid there. He didn't flop around like a fish, like Vince McMahon did. So I thought he did fine. I just have no interest in seeing Logan Paul on my television screen. So if that's the only appearance he makes, then you know what? That's fine. I have no interest in seeing him again. I would happily take Bad Bunny over more Logan Paul. Enough with the celebrities. Let's focus on your roster. Okay, WrestleMania is over. Enough with the celebrity stuff. Let's focus on telling stories that people actually care about. Let's focus on building up new stars. Let's focus on making the television shows watchable. That, to me, is a more pressing issue than worrying about what celebrity that you can get on TV. It's time that they get their priority in check. Priorities. Priorities in check. There's the Twitter poll at Solomonster. 70% thumbs up, about 30% thumbs down. So you guys, to the tune of 2,000 votes, are chiming in on the Twitter machine. We picked up a lot of new followers on Twitter, too. So if you're not following me on there, go ahead. Another one of my favorite super chats here. Here's Mrs. Roman Reigns. Says, Riddle bleeding was crazy. That match was awesome. And main event was the best of both nights. Yeah, Riddle got popped in the mouth pretty hard. He got caught by that kick on the way down. I really liked that finish. I thought that was a very cool finish, even though obviously he got hurt. But, you know, Riddle and Sheamus, look, we've seen them now have matches, three or four different matches on TV. You knew going into the show it was going to be a little snug. And you knew they were going to have a good match, and they did. It's just unfortunate that Sheamus, you know, couldn't keep his balance, and he kind of fell off the top rope. You know, when he was going for that white noise off the top. But aside from that, I thought that was one of the good matches on the show. SP in the chat says, 9 days from tonight, live on Dynamite. He's doing his best Tony Khan impersonation. 9 days, 9 days, and 9 days. Yeah, I don't know what that was about. That Tony Khan promo was just ass. That was awful. That promo on Dark a few weeks ago. I don't know what drugs he was on. Looked like he had allergies. Maybe he was on Zyrtec or something. He sounded terrible. Genius in the chat says, slipping Mandy Rose. Slipping her what? Slipping Mandy Rose should be a super chat. I try to stay away from some of the event footage. Even in GIF form. I try to play it safe with some of that stuff. Maybe though. We'll see. I'm always open to new super chat suggestions. There's a few in there that haven't actually been triggered, that haven't fired. So there's a few that you guys haven't seen yet that might pop up at random when you send in super chats. Steve Heredia with the $5. And actually, even before him, we have Abdul Rahman with $5. I was referring to Alistair's recent Instagram post with him sitting for an interview in colors. So I did not see that. Steve Heredia, how long do you see Sheamus holding on to the U.S. title? Probably for a few months. I think that if Keith Lee is going to be back soon, we're probably going to get a Keith Lee-Sheamus program, and I think Keith Lee will end up with the U.S. title, but I don't know what's going on with Keith Lee. If it's a health issue, if there's something else going on, I don't know. He was at WrestleMania this weekend with Mia Yim. They took a picture, they put it on social media. I don't know what's going on with him, but if he's going to come back, maybe as soon as tomorrow night, maybe he'll pop up on the post-WrestleMania edition of Raw. I think he would be the next challenger for Sheamus in the U.S. title. I say next. I mean, he could be the first. See, this is where it's a shame they haven't built up people like Ricochet. Or, they turned Ali heel and they've crapped all over him. Those are guys who I think would be viable challengers for Sheamus for the U.S. title, and they're all just a fucking joke. I mean, who could possibly take any of those guys seriously? This is what happens when you basically bury half of your roster 6 feet under. The comedic genius says, this is a box-like super chat. Seriously, I don't know what's going on with Michael Cole, but he was horrendous this weekend. Absolutely horrendous. Ryan Spy says, checking back in. Damn, you're still going. Well, I had to answer all the super chats. I only just finished about a minute ago. I told you, I read everything that comes in. I've been answering questions. We've been having fun. This is just a small taste, by the way, of what you'll get on the inbox stream next week. We'll mix in some email questions. We're going to have a celebration of 700 episodes on the YouTube channel here next Sunday night. So I hope you guys will come on back and join me. All right, so I think we are all caught up here. And it's about that time to wrap things up because it is almost 2 o'clock in the morning. Duff's Vids with $5 in for a super chat. Who do you see losing the women's title first, Rhea or Bianca? Boy, you guys were already taking the titles off these women. They just won them. You want to end their reign already. I feel like it's going to be Bianca because Bianca is the babyface. I think. Rhea, I think, is a heel. It's not, I'm not 100% sure about that, but that seems to be the alignment. And I feel like Rhea is going to go on a bit of a tear. Bianca, I feel like she may end up bouncing that belt back and forth with Sasha, because that issue is definitely not over yet. So I'm going to say Bianca loses it first. All right, thank you again for sticking with me this late. How many people we still have here? Still got a lot of people? Wow. Still got 1,900 people here. It's almost 2 o'clock in the morning. What is wrong with you people? You guys are you're out of your minds. I love it. What I don't like is that 666 that I see on the likes. Now I'm a little freaked out. Let's get that to 667. I see 666 on the likes and, there we go. Thank you. That's a bad sign. You never want to see that. Thank you for making this the most successful week I think I've had in the history of the channel. From AEW on Wednesday, we did NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver. We had a SmackDown review and WrestleMania predictions on Friday. And then back-to-back night to WrestleMania. In terms of subscribers and members and super chats and live viewers and just everything in between. You guys have made this a lot of fun. And again, this channel only grows because of you. Without your support and you keep coming back, this channel doesn't get bigger and bigger every single week. So thank you again for your support. I want you guys to be well. I want you guys to stay safe. I say it every week. Please join me on Wednesday for the AEW Dynamite stream at 10:15. And right back here next weekend, we're going to go live next Sunday night. I'm thinking maybe 8 p.m., 9 p.m., sometime around then, for a live inbox answering your questions. TheSalaMonster@gmail.com. TheSalaMonster@gmail.com. If you want to email your questions into me, or you can, you know, drop super chats on the stream that night. I will try to get through as many questions as I possibly can. I will see you guys on Wednesday for the Dynamite stream, and back here again next weekend for more of the Sound Off. Thank you again. This was great. Take care, guys.